Let's take our Bibles now, and I invite you to turn to Isaiah 9, 6. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. The primary choir, a little choir, their theme was Born in Bethlehem. I don't know if you picked that up. I have the advantage because they told me that's what their theme was. But I was looking for it all the way through, and I heard it over and over again as they would sing. And they were singing about Bethlehem. Now, that's an important place, a very important place. We hear about a lot of important cities, and I've been to a lot of them. Paris, France. I hung around there a little while one time with some missionaries, and I was impressed with some of the things in Paris. I've been to Cairo, Egypt. I've been to Jerusalem, and that's an important place. But one of the things that I remember is when we took a trip to Bethlehem, and they tell me you can't necessarily go down there now. There's some problems. But I'm glad we got to go and see Bethlehem. Now, religion has messed that up. They always get a hold to those holy places, those special places, and they build a shrine and put a little gold around it or something like that. And then they have a place where they do religious things that supposedly those places are able to have some healing power and sometimes supposed to be getting you ready for heaven. They always seem to ask for money in those shrines, in those places all around, to maintain them. But Bethlehem, when we went there, we had to stoop down a little bit to go into that building and around and make our way. And there was, in beautiful marble, a star. And they talked about the fact that that was where Christ was born. Now, only God knows for sure if that's the case. But we know that there was a place. There were many Bethlehems, but this was the Bethlehem that God had chosen before the foundation of the world, actually. And so, look at Isaiah 9, 6. And this is where it happened, at Bethlehem. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. A child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. What happened at Bethlehem? What really happened at Bethlehem? We know the things that led up to that occasion, but this was the first time that Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, appeared in human flesh. Very unique thing, very unique time. I believe there were some theophanies and things in the Old Testament, some appearances of Christ, but this was the first time that Jesus, God's Son, came in human flesh. Very intriguing, very interesting, the miracle of the whole thing, that Christ came in the form of a little bitty baby. I saw a little baby last night at a party where we were, just a little baby, the Maxwell's latest grandchild. And I watch and I look at some of those little babies from time to time, and I'm thinking, my soul, this is the way Jesus came into the world. Just like a little tiny baby, a little infant. Go back in our nursery and see some of those little infant babies back there tonight. And it's almost too much to comprehend. It's almost too hard to believe that God came in the form of a body, a human body. But he did. That's what happened. He appeared the first time in flesh. Now, why is that important? Why is that a big deal? Why should you and I appreciate the fact that a little baby was born in Bethlehem who was born of a virgin? The reason we ought to appreciate it, among a lot of reasons, is the fact that a mediator was born that day. A mediator. And had he not come in flesh, there's no way he could be our mediator. A mediator is the one, a man that is the man in between. And in order for us to ever get to heaven, we had to have a middle man. And that middle man had to be Jesus. And Jesus had to be born in this world in the form of human flesh at Bethlehem. What a story it is. And sometimes I don't know if we fully understand or realize or recognize all that God did when we get enamored maybe with a little baby, but not so much with the message of why there had to be a little baby. But there had to be that birth, that flesh, for Jesus Christ to be the mediator. There is one mediator between God and men, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. So he had to come as a man. There was no other way. There was no other choice. He was born in Bethlehem, and he took upon himself human flesh. God incarnate. Carnivus, carnival, we think of flesh when we think of those terms. This is God coming in the flesh. Miracle of miracles. I'm glad he was born of a virgin. Because had he not been born of a virgin, then the sin curse would have been passed on to him in human flesh. Had he had a human father, then he would have had a human father that had the sin of Adam running in his veins, and he would have been just another martyr, just another great moral example, just someone that came to this earth to be a master teacher for us, as so many would give him that authority and recognize him as a master teacher. But friends, it was far more than that. He was virgin born. And he did not have any sin running in his veins. He was pure and holy. And yet he was tempted in all points as we are. But I like this phrase, yet without sin. Jesus Christ, the divine mediator, the one who had to come in human flesh. And who is he mediating for? And to whom is he mediating? He's mediating to Almighty God, his Father. And he's mediating for you and for me. Thank God we have a mediator. I needed one. How about you? I was a sinner. I think of baptizing little Paul, 7 years of age. But you know what? That little rascal's a sinner. Now, his mom and dad won't get mad at me for saying that. They understand that. They know that he was conceived in iniquity, born in sin, and he, like all of us, needed a redeemer, needed someone that would stand up for him between us and God, a mediator. And that mediator had to be the middleman, the Lord Jesus Christ. We call him the God-man. Now, we know that he was, in a unique way, an individual like nobody before him or nobody after him. Here's a statement you've heard many times, and it's very hard to comprehend, but it's true. He was as much man as he was God. He was as much God as he was man. We say, how could that be? Well, with God, all things are possible. That's no problem for the Holy Trinity and for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to agree that Jesus would come and be born in Bethlehem and take upon himself human flesh, and that he would become the God-man. The God-man. Now, why was it necessary for him to become a man? He was born at a definite place, as God said, and at a definite time. There was no accident. It was planned. Yes, even before the foundation of the world, it was planned that Jesus would be born the way he was born, where he was born, in the city that he was born. One of the prophecies, it was a plan of Almighty God. But why was it necessary that he come? It's necessary because he had to be tested and tried in all points like us. But he had to pass the test. Now, obviously, he was going to. We believe without any question in the impeccability of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus was not going to sin. But there's that human element, that part of him where he was tempted, as I said, in all points as we are, yet without sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ satisfied in human flesh, in a human body, the divine demands of Almighty God, all of those things that you and I are supposed to have done that we could never do because we're sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ did that. He took care of it. And he was not tested to see if he would sin. He was only shown the testing so that you and I would know that he was God and he couldn't sin and he did not sin. But he had to come in a human body. It had to happen that way. There was no other way. We thank God for Bethlehem and for the miracle of Bethlehem and what took place. Jesus said, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." Isn't that something? God the Father is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But there is a visible manifestation in the person of Jesus Christ of Almighty God. I've never seen him. I've had no visions of him like some people claim they have. I don't know what he looks like, neither do you. But we do know this: he's altogether lovely. And one of these days, we're going to see him in that body that he had. He grew up. Amazing thing how he was reared in that home and grew up. And then astounded, even when he was 12 years of age, the people in the temple. And he grew in all of those ways. And then it was revealed that he was God in the flesh, that he was Jesus, the Son of God. And he had the powers of deity. He was deity. He was man, the God-man. He could heal. He knew the thoughts of people around him. He could raise the dead. He could do all of those things. Why? He was God. He was deity. He was as much God as man. And yet at the same time, he thirsted. He got hungry. He had pain. It was tough on him. And believe you me, when he suffered in his flesh on the cross, he hurt like you and I would hurt. He was the God-man. But he died in our place as our substitute, the middleman. He had never appeared like that until Bethlehem's manger. He had never come to this world like that in a body until that time. Now, he had to come because we were sinners and because we needed to be saved. In Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ, turn there just a second if you will, 1 Timothy 1:15, and Paul writing to young Timothy had it right. Paul about 60, Timothy maybe around 30 years of age. And he said in verse 15, "This is a faithful saying." Timothy, let's get to the main thing quickly. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation." Here it is. What is that? What is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation? That everybody would accept it, that everybody would believe it. That Christ Jesus came into the world. How did he come? Through Bethlehem. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then Paul added this little thing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "of whom I am chief." And by the way, he was a pretty bad sinner. Though he was a religious man and a moral man, he was a real sinner, and he knew that he was a sinner. He got saved when he realized who Jesus was. He knew what a sinful person he was. Jesus came into the world to do something, to save sinners. Not to be a moral example, as some theories would have it. Not just to be a great teacher. And not all of that, as some would say, another prophet. No. More than all of that. He was all of that, to be sure. More than all of that, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And Paul said, "Of whom I'm chief." Paul knew that he needed to be born again. That's the true story. That's the real story. Now, the devil will deceive. And he loves to distort the truth. And boy, does he ever do a good job of it during the Christmas holidays. Now, we are living in our country today where you can't hardly say Christmas. And they try to put up some things that would be Christian. And they're saying, no, you got to take them out. You've got to remove them. Now, as I was talking about this morning, the Muslims, they had a charter school. They moved all of the Muslims out of that charter school into a regular school system. And they made the children that were in that school system have the prayer times with the Muslims. And they made them respect all of their beliefs. And they were teaching them about the Muslim faith. But we can't even talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that pitiful? We've come to that place in the United States of America where it's that way. Thank God it's not that way everywhere. But Satan would not only fight it, but he would deceive people, get Christmas all distorted. To some people, they think Christmas is party time. Party hardy. By the way, I've been doing a lot of that. But no liquor involved, just good Baptist food. Amen. I don't know how many parties we went to last week. Got about 3 or 4 this week. And so don't blame me if you have a fat preacher. Amen. Somebody asked me today about a resolution for everybody after the first of the year. And I said, we can handle that. Everybody's going to go on a diet at this church January 1. Amen. Right after our watch night service. We're going to do that. But Satan tries to distort it. But I'm telling you the truth. And you know it and I know it. And I hope you know it. You may be here tonight and you don't know it, but I'm telling you the truth. You're a sinner and Jesus came to die for you. He was perfect. No sin. And I'm always reminded of that verse. He who knew no sin, that's Jesus. Though he was the God-man, came through Bethlehem. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Became sin for us. That we through him, Jesus, might be made the righteousness of God so that we could be born again, hallelujah, on our way to heaven, saved and know that we're saved. Jesus Christ took our place on the cross of Calvary, shed his blood, and he who never sinned, not one time, God looked down and God said, I see my son, and my son, the little baby is born in Bethlehem who grew up and lived a perfect life, never sinned, and died and was buried, I accept the sacrificial death of my son. And as far as I'm concerned, he died for the whole world. The Father said, for God so loved the world, not the hyper-Calvinist elect. He so loved the world, amen? The whole world, that he gave his only begotten son by way of Bethlehem, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, thank God, but have everlasting life. Oh, I'm so glad I'm going to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Sometimes I start thinking about hell, and I meditate on it a little bit, and I think, oh me, God, why does there have to be a hell? A real place, a terrible place, to be incarcerated in the caverns of the doomed and the damned forever and ever with absolutely not one ounce of hope to ever get out of there. Any religion or any teaching that tells you that there is a second chance after you go to hell is lying because it's not in the Bible. Nowhere, nowhere is that found in the Bible, hell. Hell's a real place, but thank God I'm going to heaven. You say, well, you're a little braggadocious about that, aren't you? You must think you're a good person. Not at all. But I sure think Jesus was perfect. And he took my place. And when I was a little 9-year-old boy, I trusted Christ as my Savior at a little country church in northeast Louisiana. Antioch Baptist Church. The last night of a revival meeting. And I got saved. And Jesus, I knew, had paid my sin debt. And let me tell you, if he would save Paul, who said, I'm the chief of sinners, he'll save anybody. Amen. Anybody, anywhere, anytime, if we'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a great adventure story, isn't it? Greatest adventure that ever was. God sending his son to the earth by way of a little baby, the virgin birth, miracle of miracles. And Mary said, how can this be? Well, under normal circumstances, it cannot be. But through the power of the Holy Spirit of God, who is upon you, you will conceive and you'll have a baby. And that baby will be my son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I sure am glad, like the kids are singing about, I can tell you tonight, there was a Bethlehem. Where would we be without it? Lost, hell-bound, hell-bent on our way to eternal damnation. But thank God for Bethlehem. Let's stand, please. While our heads are bowed, we'll make our appeal, then we'll ask you to come. I want to ask you this question tonight. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? That's the truth, my dear friend. That's why Jesus came. That's what Bethlehem's all about. It's not just some little story, fairy tale to tell our children. It's a true story of God's redemptive plan, and Jesus came by way of Bethlehem. He died for you, friend. Are you 100% for sure if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven? You say, well, preacher, not really. I'm not real sure. I think I would or I might. Maybe I've got a chance. No, friend, you can know. You can know because Jesus, remember, was born. He lived. He became your substitute. He paid for all of our sins, all of them. All of them, past, present, and future. Every last one of our sins. And he says, if you'll call on me and ask me, I'll save you. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, the best thing you can do for Christmas is give yourself or receive the gift that God offers to you, the gift of eternal life. And we invite you to come tonight. We're not asking you just to become a Baptist or join our church. That's not the issue. The issue is, are you ready to die? If you die tonight, are you ready to meet God? If not, here's the story. It's plain and clear. Jesus died for you, and he'll save you if you'll ask him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, believers, most of you here tonight, I know you, most of you, and you're believers. You know the Lord. But I'm telling you, Jesus, the little babe of Bethlehem, deserves our best tonight. You see, God gave his best, didn't he? When he gave that little baby, his son, through the miracle birth, he gave the best that heaven had. I ask you tonight, as a Christian, are we giving him our best? Do we have an appreciation for eternal life that we ought to have? One that makes us live right and give right and serve right and do what we ought to do for the glory of God. Judge sin and get it out of our lives so that we can walk with him and show him that he is the Lord of our life. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? May God help us if there's a need to rededicate your life, come up a little closer to Calvary, do it tonight. Father, bless in the invitation. Thank you for Bethlehem. Thank you for that city. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, dear God, that Jesus came, took our place on Calvary, paid our sin debt. And thank you that we can know that we're going to heaven. And I pray if there's somebody here tonight who's not saved, he or she would be saved. And I pray, oh God, we as believers would search our hearts right now and see if there's anything offensive. Anything there that you're not pleased with. May we even ask you right now, God, is there anything you want to speak to our hearts about, and do it and help us to make those things right as you show us. Lord, may we be dedicated to you, we pray. Oh God, help us to give you our best, even as you've given us your best. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May God help you as we sing together.